Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Apollo Hospitals Limited Q4 FY23 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during this conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Mayank Vaswani from CDR India. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Nirav. Good afternoon, everyone, and thank you for joining us on this call to discuss the financial results of Apollo Hospitals for Q4 and FY23, which were announced yesterday. We have with us on the call today the senior management team comprising Mrs. Shobana Kamineni, Executive Vice Chair, Mrs. Suneeta Reddy, Managing Director, Dr. Hari Prasad, President of the Hospitals Division, Mr. A. Krishnan, Group CFO, Mr. C. Chandrasekar, CEO of AHLL, Mr. Obul Reddy, CFO of the Pharmacy Division, and Mr. Sanjiv Gupta, CFO of Apollo 24/7. Before we begin, I would like to mention that some of the statements made in today's discussion may be forward-looking in nature and may involve risks and uncertainties. Please note the disclaimer mentioning these risks and uncertainties on slide 2 of the investor presentation that was shared with all of you earlier. Documents relating to our financial performance have been circulated, and these have also been uploaded on the corporate website and the websites of the respective stock exchanges. I would now like to turn the call over to Mrs. Suneeta Reddy for her opening remarks. Thank you, and over to you, ma'am.
Good afternoon, everyone. Thank you for taking time off to join our earnings call. I trust that you have received our earnings document, which we shared yesterday. Before we get into the details of our quarterly and full year performance, I would like to take a few minutes to reemphasize our vision and journey towards creating Asia's largest integrated healthcare ecosystem with the consumer at the center. While high-quality healthcare has always been our core offering, we have systematically over the years created several thousand touch points of care through offline pharmacies, multi-format clinics, diagnostics, and now a comprehensive digital health platform, Apollo 24/7. This health infrastructure is formidable in terms of footprint and scale. Key to us being able to be the most trusted healthcare partner for discerning customers across the value chain. We are confident that the investments we have made and the solutions that we are working on, whether it's AI for clinical decision-making or digital therapeutics and condition management, will result in providing consistent and seamless hybrid customer journeys. This will be a key differentiator, and it will give us the right to win a disproportionate share of the health wallet spends of affluent households. All our efforts are oriented towards unlocking network effects, and we are sure that we are building strong upstream and downstream funnels. Against this backdrop, let me take you through our financial results, which reflect the strength of our core business and the potential of our investments for future growth. We have reported a very strong fourth quarter with the healthcare services business witnessing a robust 18% year-on-year growth in quarter four FY23, driven by growth in volumes and supported by pricing and case mix gains. During quarter four FY23, occupancy across the group was at 5,041 beds or 64%. Mature hospitals were at 65% and new hospitals were at 62%. This was planned and achieved after the sustained reduction in low-paying institutional business over the last 6 months. This has resulted in a lower reported occupancy but has visibly strengthened our margins. Alongside the trend of increasing insurance business, which continued, which is currently 43% of revenues and 40% of volumes contributed by this channel in quarter four. This was less than 30% pre-COVID. ARPOB increased 10% to 1,000 rupees year-on-year to 53,232 rupees. Consolidated financials for the quarter are: consolidated revenues grew by 21% on a year-on-year basis to 4,302 crores. On a year-on-year basis, healthcare services revenue grew by 18% to 2,195 crores. Mature healthcare services grew by 18% to 1,519 crores, while new hospitals grew by 16% to 676 crores. Revenues from Apollo Health Co. stood at 1,799 crores in quarter four against 1,375 crores, representing a growth of 31%. AHLL revenues stood at 309 crores in quarter four, FY23, with a core revenue growth, excluding COVID and vaccination, of 23% in quarter four. Consolidated EBITDA stood at 488 crores without the effect of the operating cost of Apollo 24/7. The EBITDA was actually at 706 crores. Within this, healthcare services EBITDA grew by 31% to 535 crores. Healthcare services margins expanded by 249 basis points to 24.4%. Offline pharmacy distribution EBITDA was at 121 crores, the margin remaining very healthy at 7.8%. Net EBITDA loss in Apollo Health Co. was at 72 crores. AHLL recorded an EBITDA of 26 crores compared to an EBITDA of 37 crores. The decline was owed to a drop in COVID-related revenues and increased costs to expand the high-end testing and the phlebotomy network. Healthcare services PAT was at 257 crores, a growth of 46%. Consolidated PAT was at 145 crores, a 60% growth on a year-on-year basis. We closed FY23 with consolidated revenues of 16,613 crores, a growth over 13% over FY22. EBITDA was at 2,050 crores and PAT was at 819 crores after accounting for higher operating costs of Apollo 24/7 and due to the non-recurring revenues from COVID and vaccination. The financial performance of the core business is robust, the margins are healthy, and the operating indicators continue to improve. Our focus on the tower specialities of cardiac sciences, oncology, neurosciences, gastroenterology, and orthopedics have ensured that they now contribute 60% of the hospital revenues. Our ALOS was at 3.39 days for quarter four. It is the best in class considering the severity and acuity of our mix. In terms of inorganic expansion, we have made significant progress on implementing our plans to add 2,000 beds at an outlay of around 3,000 crores over the next 4 years in key metros. Alongside this, we are on track to improve hospital occupancy to 70% by the end of FY24 and unlock margins by revenue and cost optimization. We serve over 7 lakh footfalls a day in our offline pharmacies. Over 15% of revenue in this vertical now comes from private label and generics. We are there making sustained efforts to increase this number consistently. Our investments in the future are also yielding results. I am happy to report that Apollo 24/7 achieved a GMV of 1,643 crores for FY23, delivering on our commitment to exceed a GMV of 1,500 crores this fiscal. The platform has over 25 million registered users. The committed trajectory of GMV and revenue growth is on track, and break-even achievement at an entity level in Q4 FY24 is well on target. In AHLL, the non-COVID diagnostic business has grown by 45% year-on-year and is currently at a run rate in excess of 100 crores for the quarter. We expect to grow this to 500 crores for FY24 and to 1,000 crores in 3 years. This should be accompanied by an expansion in EBITDA margin from 5% at the present to about 10 to 12% in the next 2-3 quarters as we focus on expanding the test menu to include specialty high-end testing modalities and genomics, while recording an increased utilization of our phlebotomy network. The structural strength of healthcare services and offline pharmacy combined with the potential of our growth verticals gives us immense confidence in the impact that we can make in shaping the healthcare ecosystem of this country and delivering high quality care to our consumers in the most seamless, ubiquitous way and value distribution way. We acknowledge the short-term concerns around the cash burn in Apollo HealthCo. Several measures have been initiated that will reduce costs by 125 to 150 crores in this fiscal. We would like to assure our stakeholders that we are on the cusp of change and we are building a platform that is sustainable and value accretive. With fiscal prudence and distinctive consumer value proposition as our twin goals. On that note, I would like to hand it over to our moderator and open the line for questions. I have Shobhana, Dr. Hari Prasad, our CFO Krishnan, Obul Reddy, Chandrasekhar from AHLL, and Sanjeev from 24/7 with me to take all your questions. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. The first question is from the line of Damayanti Kerai from HSBC. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon and thank you for the opportunity. My question is on Apollo 24/7. So you recorded GMV of 5.9 billion for fourth quarter, which has seen 9% sequential growth. So although like you have beaten your earlier expectation for full year, but for next year, I guess you have earlier indicated that you would like to double up your GMV compared to FY23 level. So from this level, like how do you see GMV is picking up in coming quarters so that you can almost double up GMV in FY24 versus the FY23 level? Because fourth quarter growth seems a bit low, I'll say.
This is Shobhana Kamineni. This is on growth. We'd like to tell you that we've initiated many programs. Hello, am I audible?
Yes, you are.
Okay. So the plan here, the plan very clearly is that we have tailored our growth to achieve 100% increase from the last year. So we will finish this FY24 is 3,000 crores. Most of this will come from pharmacy, and while keeping our marketing spends at the same level. And what we've seen in Q4, which is the early shoots of how we do the for the following year, is that we've been seeing a lot of retention, and then our monthly customers. They keep coming back to our platform has actually increased. People who make three or transactions, it used to be in the range of less than 500,000 people last year. Now this is inching up towards a million plus. And I think that this is very significant to people as we continue to get traction of adopters that continue to come on. And please understand that what we've done is that we're also, as Sunita said, our journeys within is, especially within the offline and online, all these years, we've just been creating the pathways. And now we are actually seeing traction where in community by community, we're able to get more and more people coming back to our pharmacies that shop Omni. And the thing is that we've actually opened up a new age group of customers that it is not of healthcare users, many of who are digital first. So the 25 registered who are digital first, many of them, almost 2 million of them, they shop not themselves, but shop for, you know, someone else in their family. These are very interesting cohorts that we've seen. We've also accelerated the ability, like if you look at our figures, we have now 1 in 4 of them actually doing another service. Mostly it's a diagnostic service that they take. And I think that this kind of traction is what we'll be able to build throughout this year. Yes, 9% was muted, but that was largely because if you see during that period, everyone pulled back in terms of discounts. And that short period of, you know, going 3% less in discounts, all the high value seekers just moved out, and which is good for the business because now we have much more traction of serious customers engaging.
Okay. Mom, this discount part, you said you are like less than, you're offering a 3% less discount versus most of other peers.
No. Most of them have moved down, but yeah, we continue to stay at least 1% less than the others.
Okay. My second question is, AHL spend seems to have plateaued during the quarter. So, are we going to see similar run rate ahead? And if you can elaborate where all the spend has gone in various buckets, so that will be helpful.
Sanjeev, please.
Yeah, so I think this question. I think there are 2-3 things. You know, if you look at in Q4, our AHL overall EBITDA is at 72 crores negative versus Q3 of 63 crores. There is a one-off marketing and tech integration tie-up cost with insurance and corporate health benefit platform. This is for the distribution and servicing medical insurance policy holders. So I think with this one-off tech integration, we would be well positioned to start taking B2B, which is the corporate side of the business, as well as the insurance side of the business. As far as the spend side is concerned, I think as stated in the last earnings call also, we don't see any difference as far as Q2 versus Q3 is concerned. About 30% of the expenditure goes into product and tech side. You've got around 25% of expenditure into the ops side. The marketing, which is the brand communication, connecting with the customers, content, so on and so forth, is roughly about 20%. The call center and the other lines, telesales and all that takes about 15%, and the remaining 10% is towards support and other things. And I would also like to state one more point that, you know, we have a line of sight for at least 20 to 25 crore of reduction in losses by the end of H1, and we should be seeing this 72 crores of Q4 losses to come down sub 50, you know, by H1.
Sajib, you said 25 to 30 crore cost reduction by H1. That's what you are aiming for?
That's right. And so we have a line of sight for 25 crore of, you know, EBITDA improvement or the loss improvement. But more work is going on. We'll update you in the next earnings call with respect to the VR.
Okay. Thank you. I have more questions. I'll get back in the queue.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Prakash Garwa from Access Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Good afternoon to all. Just, you know, carrying on with the last participant, the voice quality was not clear. You are saying your spend from 189 crores would come down by 25-30 crores, which means you'll be doing 150-odd crores per quarter starting first half, quarter one onwards. I could not get this.
I think what we suggested is that, you know, as a company, we are into the endeavor of ensuring that Q4 is break-even for the company. Q4 of the current fiscal year should be break-even for the company. As far as the last quarter is concerned, we made a loss of 72 CR. The line of sight that we have is to for the next 2 to 3 months suggest us that by H1, this 72 crore of loss should be around 45 to 50 crore. So there would be reduction in losses by about 25 crores from the current level in next 3 to 4 months.
Okay, that is clear. But this loss reduction is by higher sales, or you plan to reduce this 189 burn rate also?
Absolutely. So that's a good point. And we have taken a couple of areas, where we can, and as suggested by Shulka ma'am, that there is a reduction in the discount by about 3%. We were at about 18 to 19% in Q4. Now down to, in the current quarter, we are at about 15%. Apart from the fact that we've got 20% reduction in the logistics, there's a lot of headcount rationalization and productivity coming out of the automation, which would also support us in the expense reduction. So there are certain areas where action has already been taken, and those actions were taken in the back end of Q4 and early April. That is the reason we couldn't see anything in Q4. But indicative numbers for April and May suggest that there would be reduction in the operating cost as well.
Okay, understood. And one more, if I may, on the Helco. So if you see the offline pharmacy, YOY is pretty soft, 12%. Any particular reason? Was it due to any COVID base last year, or how to think about that?
Yeah. You are right. Last year, first Q1 and Q2, we had a huge COVID sales. If you adjust for that, our offline growth is in the range of about 19 to 20%.
Q4, sir, not Q1 to Q2. Q4 of last year.
Q4 of last year to Q4 of last year. This year there is a 21% growth
on the offline pharmacy platform, right?
Yeah, that's right.
Okay, understood.
Yes, Q1 of last year, there is a
90. Got it. And second question on hospital business. Glad to know we are on track of the 70% occupancy levels. This quarter, I heard on that, the ARPOB and case mix actually have been, the focus has been to improve that. Typically, the season is strong Q4. So did we see any seasonally soft quarter, or and what is the bridge to move from 65 to 70 by end of this year? Thank you.
So if you look at occupancy, we've reduced the number of institutional people, that patients that we usually get, and with this the occupancy dropped by at least 3%. So this is why you also saw the ARPOB increase by 10%. Yes, our case mix has also improved, but it is a combination of both these that has led to an ARPOB increase.
Okay, so despite this improvement in the case mix and institutional going down, you expect 65% to move to 70%.
Yes, and this will come from, the program that we have to recruit new doctors, which is already happening across the system. The second is to really to look at what our network funnel is going to bring us. We have started getting patients from 24/7, and we believe that we have created a strong funnel. The third lever that we're using is really to look at how we leverage our corporate relationships. Our corporate relations as well as international. So we are looking at this. Currently, if you look at our payer mix, 45% is retail and another 45% is private insurance. So that is really going to contribute to an increased occupancy. And finally, for the Tier 1 cities, international patients, currently we're at about 7%. We're moving this to 10%, so that should add another 3% in terms of occupancy.
Got it. And lastly, on you mentioned there's a reasonable progress on your inorganic initiative of adding 2,000 beds. Last time you mentioned 3-4 locations. If you could just highlight any particular location, any particular development, that would be helpful.
We should be in a position to come back to you in the coming quarter, hopefully, on this, Prakash. We have line of sight across all of these. We are progressing on Delhi and Mumbai, Delhi and Chennai, as you already know. We are working on Bangalore. We are working on Mumbai as well.
And Calcutta.
And Calcutta. So Hyderabad also we are working on. So there are multiple options. By the coming quarter, you should get a clarity.
Okay, I have more questions. I'll join that. Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Gina Kim from Schroders. Please go ahead.
Hi. Hello, Sunita and everyone. I don't know if this is a minor point, but on page 15 of your presentation, it's the financial performance for the fourth quarter of AHLL. But the specialty, everything, you know, makes sense, but specialty care side, it, you know, EBIT sales is all growing, I guess, except for PAT. So PAT has, you know, losses have ballooned, it seems, in the fourth quarter of last year. Can you explain why?
Yes, Chandrasekhar, will you take this question?
So we have higher depreciation because of new centers. Specialty care includes a lot of the fertility centers which were opened in the year before. And all of these depreciation and the effect of depreciation in the Ind-AS treatment also has affected that.
But, sorry to interrupt, on the depreciation, that would have been if reflected in EBIT, right? So your EBIT grew from 1 million rupee to 64 million rupee, if you look in the line above. But only PAT went the opposite direction.
There was also a deferred tax reversal, a deferred tax asset reversal in this quarter, which is a one-off. Exactly. Which will not recur from the next quarter. There was a 12 crores deferred tax asset reversal.
Yes.
So that's a charge to the P&L, which will not recur from next quarter.
That's
the one off. Yeah. Correct.
Okay. I just generally, I guess, and you've mentioned some sort of guidance in bits and pieces, the occupancy of 70%. Your CapEx plan, HealthCo revenue growth. But can you provide an overall picture of what you expect for this year, FY24, as a group?
Healthcare services, we are looking at 15% growth coming from higher occupancy and therefore better EBITDA. This quarter, we showed an increase in EBITDA margin by 249 basis points. We believe that, you know, we can improve this by another 100 basis points, and this will come, you know, from occupancy, covering fixed costs and making sure that, you know, higher occupancy is better EBITDA and therefore higher profitability. Moving on, I think 24/7, Sanjeev or Shobhana, would you like to talk, and Chandrasekhar on AHLL?
Yeah, I can take it. Thank you, Richard. I can take it up for Apollo 247 on the digital front. On the digital front, we are looking at about 100% growth on platform transactions. We did roughly 1640 crore last year. We're looking at doubling it. On the pharmacy side, we are looking at about 28 to 29% growth in the current fiscal year versus the previous year. Over to Chandra sir for AHL.
Yeah, on AHLL, I think we have had a base reset kind of a year. So one-offs on COVID, etc., completely reduced this year. So optical view shows a flat year to a minor degrowth. But then AHLL core revenues on a year-on-year basis have grown by 28%. Diagnostics continues to grow at a pace, but again, optically shows a 4% degrowth, but that is because of a very high component of COVID testing the previous year. Non-COVID diagnostics, excluding COVID testing and COVID allied testing, actually grew 63% year on year. So that's, I think, the flavor that I think we are carrying forward. The overall growth at a HL level from a 950 crore odd number to a 1280 crore number approximately. Is a reflection of a continued growth path. The growth has been driven by the core business. Now, on a future outlook, primary care had a one-off significant 185 crore revenues on account of vaccination the previous year, which has subsequently obviously has fallen off. So these were the flavor of the year and the overall year's performance. So we remain bullish about the continuing the growth at a 40-odd% growth rate that we have demonstrated in the non-COVID segment. For the previous year, it was approximately 250 crore, which has moved up to the 384 crore number, representing about a 44% growth in terms of the non-COVID testing. We are making investments on adding and changing our mix from routine basic to semi-specialized, specialized, and super specialized. Towards this, we are taking additional costs by way of both skilled doctors, specialized sales forces. We're also investing continuously, and we are yet to receive the complete benefit of the ramp-up of our phlebotomist capacity, because the consumer demand and something that we are very committed to is to serve the home collection requirements. These will compress our margin for a little while there in diagnostics. However, our growth rates will continue to be at the 40%, 35 to 40% level, and we would like it to be even higher further. So that is the plan that we are taking on the growth path. On the other segments, we continue to have growth rates, which I think we will sustain and add. A few centers in the cradle segment are being added, which will again cause a slight gestation-based depression in margin, but will continue to give us benefits. Cradle is operating on a high 80 to 20% EBITDA margin at this level, and that will continue to be useful. IVF, which is fertility, is a more newer line of business for AHLL. We have made investments in during the midst of the COVID years. The last year has seen a significant growth year on year, but we are yet to come to a level of you know, completely utilizing the potential of the infra we have created. So without any new center additions, we are going to grow the utilization at IVF. So that's setting the broad plan. Our diagnostics division margin has been at the 7.5% of an aggregate annual level, and we are making efforts to take it up 10 to 12, and progress will be aiming to take it to the 15 level. There can be quarters of slight fluctuation because we are making investments, and most of the investments for expansion are operating expense in nature. So that's the broad outlook for nature.
Thank you. Gina, I'll request to come back for a follow-up question. I request to all the participants, please restrict to 2 questions per participant. The next question is from the line of Shyam Srinivasan from Goldman Sachs. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good afternoon, and thank you for taking my question. Just some of the metrics that we track on Apollo 24/7. Little confused. So daily active users, I'm looking at the last 4 quarters. So June 2022, 6.5 lakh daily active users. It became 10.6 lakh in September, December 7 lakh, and now fourth quarter again 7 lakh. So some of the comments that have made on the us dropping discounts and some of these value customers moving away. So did that happen 2 quarters back, or you know, I'm just trying to map it to the trajectory of daily active users.
Yeah, so I think as far as the you know, the upward movement from you know, June to September and some bit of October was on account of you know, the kind of campaigns that we were running across you know, pan India, and those campaigns were more of a broad base than of a you know, kind of a very particular or pertinent for select catchment. So one is that we shifted our campaign from broad based to more data analytics oriented. So that in any case, we believe would result into a lot of active users, you know, which only come for you know, kind of a comparison between the between various websites. They won't come in. All the value seekers will start dropping in. And in any case, you know, we never wanted to have a value seeker coming into our platform. So this was one of the conscious decision to ensure that value seeker does not land into the platform, and more of a chronic, more of a customer who is looking out for a continuum of care and various other offerings of Apollo ecosystem. So this is one conscious decision. Now, Between December and March, I think, you know, one of the reasons, and you rightly pointed out, could be ascribed to the discounts being, you know, lowered. So discounts in Apollo 24/7 have always been about 2 to 3% lower than the market. You would recall that somewhere in FY22, discounts were 22-23%. In last year, they came down to 18-19-20%, and we were always less. And somewhere in March, April, we have brought it down to some 15%, apart from the fact that, you know, so I think one reduction could also be attributed to lower discounts being offered by platform. Plus, you know, we are also not looking at, you know, those orders which are, you know, less than 200 bucks, because, you know, that distorts the entire economics of the pharmacy delivery. I think these are the two reasons, plus, you know, value seekers going out of the platform could be the third reason, you know, resulting into daily active users to be constant between December and March. But current quarter, we see upliftment as far as the DAO is concerned.
That's helpful, Sanjeev. I'm just a little worried about, like, active as a percentage of registered users, right? Registered users have gone from 14 million last year to 25. And we are at the same level of active users. So am I reading it too much, you think, or, you know?
So I think the way to look at it is that, I think the metrics which we need to look at it is that to what an extent, you know, repeat percentages flowing through the platform between the two endpoints. So one is that the repeat percentage is as high as 40% for the last year for the company, which was probably about 22-25% in FY22. So one is that more and more repeats are coming into the platform. As far as the you know, the overall base versus daily active, please note that, you know, chronic customers, or as a matter of fact, any customer would open the app only when a service is needed. Not necessarily, we never expect that, you know, 25 million customers to open app every day and become a daily active user. We would have only as many active users onto the platform who have come in to consume either a product or a service. And service could be content also out here. So I think this is to be seen from this perspective, that whether your active user base is increasing, your repeat percentage is increasing, and your total platform transactions are increasing year on year. So if I look at it year on year, we have about 266% growth in the platform transactions. So I think this is how I would sum up that, you know, we should look at the numbers.
Got it. Last question for me. Just the divergence in GMV, QOQ growth, I think 9%, like I think one of the other participants asked, but revenue has grown 44% to about 2,539. So just trying to understand, say, if I use revenue to GMV ratio, that's bumped up. And also, if you could help us with the split of the GMV in the different services that we share. Thank you.
Okay. So, in the last earnings call, also, we had a question regarding GMV to revenue ratio and to what an extent we could look into as a stable number. Last quarter, we had 42% as the 42.9 to be precise. So as a revenue as a percentage to GMV, I think pretty healthy. And we continue to look at this number in the range of about 45-50% between current quarter to the next quarter. So it should stabilize somewhere there. As to you also checked on what is the distribution of 593 crores between various verticals. In pharmacy, we did about 375 CR, which is roughly 74%. Diagnostic, we did 22 crores, which is 16%. And remaining 10% is on the consultation side. Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Tushar Manudhane from Motilal Oswal. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity. So just on this number of offline stores, for the quarter there has been a bit of slowdown, while for a full year basis the number has been quite aggressive compared to 2022. So if you could throw some light on the number of stores that would be added in the coming years.
Google will take that.
So last quarter we added about 300 stores, but there is a bit of higher closure, that is why net addition is less, and we are on track with the new openings.
And for the year, 1,100
stores. For the full year, we have opened about 1,050 stores. Next year, we are planning to be in the range of about 500, 600 stores and then see what next.
So any particular reason for this while in terms of slower pace of addition of stores?
Well, we want to focus on the productivity and that is the reason we want to add lesser stores.
And at the same time, a certain incremental cost has come up. So for FY24, how to think about the offline pharmacy distribution margin?
See, we expect to be some offline about 7%.
Distribution.
7%. That's the structured business, which is range of 7%, about half a percent, maybe around 7.5 to 8%, that will be the range.
Understood. And on the hospital side, the operational beds has been pretty stable in 23 as well. So while the occupancy can increase to 70%, but the bed addition will happen only after the major capex layout, or is there a scope of adding beds at the existing sites?
There are some beds which will be added, but it will probably be in the year after next. It is particularly in Bangalore and Mysore, which is where we are looking at some additions. So mostly after next year.
Thank you. Tushar, sorry to interrupt you. I'll request to join the queue again for a follow-up question. A request to all the participants, please restrict to 2 questions per participant. The next question is from the line of Anish Deora from Nomura. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for the opportunity. So firstly, a clarification on the private label contribution that we've reported. So this quarter it was 15.5% of the total pharmacy revenue, whereas in the previous quarter it used to be in the range of around 11% or so. So have we like clubbed private label and trade generics in this quarter as for the reporting?
That's right. Pure FMCG private label is about 11%. With generics, it is about 16%.
So there were a set of people who were asking for this number, after the last call, and which is why we decided to include this as well.
So the generics is basically of the other players. It's not Apollo private, Apollo manufactured, or it's the trade generics of other players.
We have few SKUs Apollo manufactured, and we'll be adding further into that, even on the generic side.
Okay. All right. And secondly, on the hospital's RPOB basis, the clusters. So if you look at the RPOB increase, it has been a bit diverse across the clusters. Certain clusters have seen a very healthy RPOB growth during the year, while certain have been flat. So any particular reason and any particular trend that you can see out of this particular thing?
So let me first say that it is a function of case mix as well. And I think we have done some tariff increases across the board. So across the hospital division, there was an increase in RPOB. Do you want to?
So we are, we have seen a good increase in RPOB. And as we go into the next year, we are also, the one division that didn't see some increase was the AP Telangana region. Because we also had, we have also Vizag, etc., which was there in this region. So while Hyderabad, the RPOB has increased, given that it's the region that you're looking at, it's not showing an increase there, because given that it's not a tier 1 metro, that RPOB is a bit lower, and that occupancy as it goes up, it impacts the overall RPOB more from a mixed perspective. Otherwise, all the other regions we are fine. Others is also something that we are hoping that in this coming year, we should see a 5-6% increase in RPOB.
Understood. And I can just squeeze one last in, just a clarification on the share of profit from the joint ventures and associates that we report. Last quarter, there was a loss of about 20 crores that was reported. In this quarter, there's a 3 crore profit. So it has been fluctuating quarter to quarter. So any particular reason for this, and how should we be looking at this number going forward? Thanks.
Let me come back to you on this because there was nothing specific that I'll come back to you offline on this because I just look at that reason for the same. But maybe there was a one-off last quarter. Let me come back to you.
Because all of them are currently profitable.
Thank you. Thank you. The next question is from the line of Shalin Kumar from UBS. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for the opportunity. Just one understanding here. So, as we have improved our payer mix, you know, moved out of CGHS kind of a stage, right? Especially our margin should improve. So, is there any one-off cost, etc., line in the fourth quarter?
Margin should improve. On hospital services, you are not clear in the beginning. Is this hospital services?
Yes, yes, ma'am. Hospital services, healthcare services. I mean, if sequentially margin, I mean, so I'm just wondering if there's a scope for margin to improve here.
PM mix work started only barely 5 months ago, and you will see that there has been a 249 basis points improvement. We're at 249 basis points improvement at 24.6% EBITDA margin. So this has, clearly there is an improvement.
I was actually comparing last quarter Q3 versus Q4. So just wondering if there is more, if there is more that we can have, you know, just in case there is any one-off cost here in Q4.
Nothing specific.
Nothing specific. Okay. And so sequentially, again, the physical pharmacy revenue has not grown, rather marginally declined. Is it because of rationalization of the strip, and it should pick up?
No, physical stores, you know, in the back end, is a structured margin which stays around 7.8%. And
growth is 31%. Sequential
growth, you know, this quarter we have slightly slower growth compared to generally our Q2, Q3 will be the best. And Q4, we generally have a muted growth, and that is the reason. Otherwise, even we are at a growth of 2% sequentially.
No, I think I have to state that across the board, if you, January is traditionally a month of many holidays in the south. So therefore, if you're comparing sequentially, yes, there was, in terms of both occupancy and hospital utilization, as well as maybe pharmacy, there could have been a lower growth. If it's sequential, there was also a mild COVID wave, which was only resulted in people taking paracetamol. So you would not have seen huge growth in the fourth quarter because of this mild COVID wave, and because the South hospitals and pharmacies in the South really didn't see much traction because of the many holidays.
Thank you. Charlene, sorry to interrupt you. I'll request to join the queue again for a follow-up question. I request to all the participants, please restrict to 2 questions per participant. Next question is from the line of Nitin Agarwal from DAM Capital. Please go ahead.
Thanks for taking my question, ma'am. On the hospital services EBITDA, we have, just reconfirming, you guided to a 15% growth in the EBITDA for the hospital services for this year?
It should be higher. The growth in EBITDA is what you're saying, right?
Yes.
Yeah, it should be higher than that because we are hoping that, you know, the overall growth is closer to that 13 to 15% on revenue, and EBITDA should be higher than that because of the expansions that we are planning on both operating leverage as well as cost cuts.
Okay, and sir, you know, when you look through beyond the first year, I mean beyond FY24, if I take like a 3-year view of the hospital services business, at what rate? I mean, what's the broad range in which we think we can grow our EBITDA from FY23 base?
I think you should continue to look at the same number because it is possible to grow at the similar number.
So the advantage that we have is that we have existing capacity. So without investing too much, we are going to increase occupancy. Post in 25-26, we will have new beds coming up.
Ma'am, you talked about the occupancy going to 70% for FY24 versus 64%, which is a very large increase. I mean, it should ideally lead to the most disproportionate increase in profitability for these hospitals if we can get this kind of occupancy increase for the year.
See, I think, you know, we should set our targets high, and really we have the potential, and this 70% is by quarter four. So like I said, we are working on these initiatives, including improving our international patients mix. And with this, you know, we should be able to get 70% occupancy by quarter four. It won't happen overnight, but definitely in quarter four.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sayantan Maji from Credit Suisse. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. So my first question is on the EBITDA for pharmacy segment. So our back end, you know, when we had done the deal, so the guidance was that 80% of the EBITDA will be captured in back end pharmacy. But, you know, over time it has been, you know, sort of almost equal or higher. So this quarter as well, 148 crore was captured in the front end, out of which 145 was captured in the back end. So when does it go to 80%, or is it something that, you know, our back end EBITDA margin will always be at 7.5 to 8%? And what are the additional costs that are being incurred at the front end pharmacy?
As you appreciate, you know, the back end pharma business is a structured business. As a EBITDA percentage, it will be in the range of about 7.5 to 8% depending upon the costs and other, you know, sales movement during that quarter. It remains largely in the range of about 78 to 82% versus the front-end business. As you are aware of it, this year we added about 1,000 stores in the front-end network. We have higher one-time and infrastructural costs. So to that extent, as a percentage, it might look little slightly different, but we will be back in the current year. By end of the current year, we expect that to be in the same range as we explained earlier and as we planned.
In for an online order, what are the additional costs that are being incurred at the front end?
We don't have any additional costs other than the delivery costs associated with us, because the inventory is coming from the store inventory, and only logistics handling costs. And there is a set of dedicated employees, so we are largely manageable within the overall cost structure.
Okay, got it. And my second question is on 247. So in 247, we have guided for 20 to 25 crore, say, reduction in cost. So this 189 crore, if I just look at the operating cost, so that is expected to go down to, say, 170 crore. And what is the next set of investments, you know, that we have to do in FY24? So are we mostly done with the product? Yeah, okay. So what is the next set of investments that you envisage in 24/7 in FY24, even at a, say, 170 crore quarterly run rate?
So I think as far as the platform is concerned, I think more or less the entire tech and product investment has happened. We don't see that, you know, while we have a target to grow our business by 100% in current year, I'm not seeing any potential investment into the business, other than the fact that, you know, we had a one-time tech and product development for the insurance and B2B corporate side of it. There is a clinical intelligence engine, CI, which is taking a bit of investment, but I guess that, that is something which we can absorb within the various cost initiatives that we have planned for the company. So there should not be any incremental cost, but having said so, the way we look at is that, you know, what is our expense as a percentage to GMV? If you look at in Q1, start of the previous financial year FY22-23, we were at somewhere 66%. So our expenses as a percentage to GMV, which started coming down to 52% in Q2, and by Q4 as we end, it is 39%. So basically 189 crore divided by 593 crore, which is about 32%. Now the target for the current year, which is FY23-24, is to bring this down to a range between 20 to 23%, and so I think from that sense, we are into well. We have defined the entire activity in such a way that you know, if there is an incremental cost on any of the technologies that we need to put in, that could be the only additional area where investment will go. But at this stage, we don't see any material investment into the product and tech side, apart from ongoing costs.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll take the last question from the line of Rishabh Tiwari from Allegro Capital Advisors. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you for taking the question. My question is regarding the hospital services business. Once we reach the occupancy level of, say, 70% by this year, what are the number of beds that we are looking at adding in the over the next 2-3 fiscals? Because as a group, my understanding is we are seeing AHLL and HealthCo as a growth levers. But within the healthcare services, what are the in the short term, near few years, what is the growth that we are looking at?
We have 2,000 beds planned, which, you know, by 2027, every year we'll add a new hospital into the system. And close to around 700 new beds after 24.
So, just to confirm, we are adding around 700 beds per year after FY24.
Yes, minimum, yeah. We continue to look at brownfield and we continue to look at acquisitions.
Okay, and these acquisitions would be focused on Tier 1 city?
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. And I'll hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
Thank you all for taking time off today. It was a pleasure answering your questions. Krishnan, Sanji, and the entire team would be happy to take any other further questions. You may email them. Let me promise you that we are committed to not only growing this enterprise, but towards delivering outstanding world-class clinical care, which is the crux of really what Apollo means for everyone. And let me also reassure you that we continue to improve in terms of market share, in terms of clinical leadership, and our commitment to our patients. Thank you all.
Thank you very much. On behalf of Apollo Hospitals Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us. You may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.